Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast. Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal.
In the evening, she's a woman. In the daytime, she's a girl. I think she's nice. Reflection starts to speak. And all the frozen answers remind the frozen questions not to speak. It's not my time.
Tom Davis here with Metatron Power and Light. We'd like to thank everyone for all the positive emails and responses to our music. Our music can be found on Amazon, Spotify, YouTube, and all digital outlets, and is featured on Night Dreams Talk Radio with Gary Anderson.
Metatron Power and Light is a band that deals with esoteric subjects, the paranormal, and other topics that engage the spirit and mind. Visit MetatronPowerAndLight.com to learn more.
facing a time of great change and the future is unwritten. But when we come together and seek answers, we expand our awareness until we begin to see the unseen. Uncovering secrets allows us to develop the knowledge we will need to shape our future and control our destiny.
The views, opinions, and representations expressed on the Night Dreams Talk Radio Network and its website are those of the hosts, guests, and participants, and are not necessarily those of or endorsed by the network, its affiliated stations and broadcasts, the management, other hosts, or advertisers of the network. The shows found on the Night Dreams Talk Radio Network can, but do not necessarily, promote any particular lifestyle, belief, religion, political affiliation, or other personal practice. These shows are for entertainment purposes only and are not intended to treat, diagnose, and or claim any cure of disease or condition or give any medical or legal advice. Coming to you from some far point station, like a cosmic tumbleweed, both north and south of the Pleiades, here's your host, Gary Anderson.
And that is me. Well, I hope everybody had a great weekend. By the way, the new music we're playing here tonight is from a band called Blue Jeans Band. And the music song was Just Because. I really like their music. It fits into the show. And I want to thank them for sending that music over for to use as bumper music. Well, over the weekend down at the harbor, we got almost 18 inches of snow. Over a two-day period, we've still got a lot of snow, but it's been raining since yesterday at 2 o'clock. I tell you what, people on the West Coast, they don't know how to drive in the snow. I can tell you, it gets really, really scary seeing people drive in the snow. You know that, James?
It does. I seen them this morning on the news in the deep south. It was getting 4 or 5 inches, and they don't even have plows or salt trucks down there, so they was all freaking out.
And make sure, too, you know, if you want to listen to us, that's one thing. If you want to get on chat, a lot of people are saying they can't get on with speaker, chat. What I've been told, a lot of the cell phones just won't work. You have to maybe use a laptop or some other device to get on. You might try it that way. And again, a big shout out tonight to Jody, to Barb, which I think still in heaven, Chekhov, Walter. Last week, you know, recognizing her, too. That's not as good as a autograph, is it, Barb? Well, you know what? Yellowstone, you know, that volcano, if that went, it would take out at least half the United States. They're now not quite so worried about that super volcano going, James. They're worried about steam vents because the temperature has been rising and these steam vents can throw rocks a mile, 2 miles away from the explosion?
Oh, yeah. It's projectiles from, that's, you definitely don't want to get hit by those. And you know, also the deadly gases that can come out of these things, too. You know, there's been many animals killed all around, miles and miles around, not there, but other places. Well, there, too, that this deadly gas has killed also.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And every year there's a couple people falling into one of those geysers, which are, you know, just like dropping a chicken in boiling water. It's horrible. And I don't know. I just hope Yellowstone doesn't go for another 100,000 years. That way I don't have nothing to worry about. Again, the weather pattern. Are we going into, well, Earth changes? Because I'll tell you what, this vortex, remember I talked about it 2 weeks ago? I said it was coming from Antarctica and it was going to settle over the United States. Well, it seems like a lot of areas are getting snow, which normally don't even get snow.
Oh, you nailed it. I'm going to tell you something. Dallas, Texas this morning was 5 degrees and felt like 16 below with 5 inches of snow. And even Louisiana, same thing, 18 degrees, like zero, 5 inches of snow. Deep South got hit hard and it's going to be below freezing for at least a week. So that snow and ice is going to stay there. And, Gary, they don't even have salt trucks, and not like around here, or plows.
Well, how about the power outages? There's actually power companies that can't handle the current draw of everybody trying to keep warm. So they're purposely doing blackouts in different areas for they can't exceed their limit for that. You know, they have a major blackout, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, that was another big issue because there it was in Texas, 2.1 million people had no electricity, and it was below zero with wind chills, below zero, 15 below, and these people aren't used, you know, deep south of this cold weather. There's going to be a lot of people, older people, probably dying.
Oh, yeah, that isn't that scary. You know, going back, 46 years ago, I rented some property, had a mobile home in it. But the mobile home was built in Florida. Somehow the people took it from Florida, brought it up to Washington State. And that particular year, we had a huge windstorm, and it was below freezing. And we lost our power for about 8 days. And that's how long it took them to restore the power, 8 days. And I'll tell you what, inside this mobile home on the walls, it was coated with ice. That's how cold it was. No insulation virtually between, you know, the outer skin of the mobile home to the paneling. And I tell you what, you were in there, even with whatever heat you could, you know, create, you were sitting there shaking.
Yeah, you're in bad shape. Let me tell you, unless you got a wood burner or something like, you know, similar to that, you're going to be struggling to stay warm. And let me tell you, if you're in the deep south, you're not used to below zero temperatures. That's like going from night and day. The average temperature down there is right now is like 60 degrees. And here it was 18 below wind chill.
How about all these homeless people? I was reading up here in the Northwest. There's some of them they've been finding dead because they froze to death. I mean, literally, I mean, trying to sleep in the tent or whatever when it's like 18 degrees, 17 degrees out? That's horrible.
Yeah. It is horrible. It's terrible. And it's even hard on pets and livestock as well. And that's another thing that they haven't really touched on yet. There's a lot of livestock, especially down through the deep south, and in that pattern like you're talking about, it's in a holding pattern. There's two big storms coming. It's just hanging over the deep south, and it's a deep freeze. And these livestock, they can't handle that either, a lot of them.
I know. It's really scary. So hopefully the cycle will go away. Who knows? I mean, it goes from one extreme to the other, doesn't it? I mean, where I live at, you know, we go years in between when we get snow. And when we get snow, in the last 20 years, I've had 3 snowstorms down at the compound. That was bad enough where you couldn't get out for a day or two. But normally, if it snows, it's like a half inch and it's gone right away. But I've really been seeing extreme weather changes. And I think that has a lot to do with all the billions of gallons of fresh water dumped into the ocean, and the slowing of the belt from the equator going up through Europe, which is the warming belt. It keeps Europe from going in a deep freeze. I don't know. We got a lot to worry about between Yellowstone and Earth changes, magnetic fields. And you know what? Tonight, who's our guest?
Our guest is Nigel Kerner, and he's going to be talking about the gray alien phenomenon and some of their agendas.
Well, what is their agendas? It's going to be really interesting to find out what Nigel has, you know, in store to us. Because, you know, again, on this show, we have like 3 different campgrounds. One campground says they're here to save mankind. Then you have one, well, there's just like people. You got good people and you got bad people. And then we have the other campground, which I wouldn't want to go into, especially on Friday the 13th, is the one you go into it. And it's like evil, just in the air. And that's the other camp of ETs. Well, hey, Nigel, how are you doing? And welcome to Night Dreams Talk Radio, my friend.
Oh, hi there, Gary. Very nice to talk to you and all you guys there in America. I don't want you to have too much sympathy with us Brits here at this moment in time. We're all under a thing called lockdown. And I'm listening to the freedom that you express when you talk about your volcanoes and all the rest of it. And I think we would really like to take a hike up there and have a look at this fantastic place you're talking about.
I don't know. If you go to Yellowstone, you got to watch out because, you know what, if you got rubber-based shoes, you know, yeah. Sole, There's certain areas on it. You start walking on the ground, and they would start melting on your feet.
Yeah. Well, I have a lot of friends, American friends, who come in and tell me about Yellowstone and the catastrophe that can happen if this thing goes off and so on. Well, I'm a great believer in positive mental attitude, the PMA, as they say. And I think that, yeah, you're, was it 100,000 years, you said, Gary?
Yeah, that's what one scientist says. It might not go for another 100,000 years.
Yeah, well, that's probably the right kind of criterion there for where this is concerned, because I mean, I'm sure that any kind of catastrophe that's going to take humanity and threaten humanity is much closer to hand and more current with us at the moment when you see what happens in our world, sadly.
Well, look at you guys in the UK. You're dependent on that warm water coming from the equator.
You bet.
And it's slowing down and it's narrowing down. And that's getting people concerned because you know what's going to happen if that stops or stalls.
Absolutely. And taking us a little further on your surmise about Yellowstone, there's something far more dangerous at the moment that they are looking at. We have this big deal going on about global warming, but the real guy is nothing to do with warming. It's to do with cooling. And they're finding the sun is changing its aspect so severely that scientists reliably predict they'll go into a phenomenon called the Maunder Minimum, which means that we can expect, and some very reliable scientific data is available on this, which you can check out yourselves, call the Maunder Minimum, and it says that perhaps in 20 to 30 years we won't be warmed, we will be cooled in another ice age. And that is really a serious postulation, you know, Gary. And that's another thing that, I mean, all these things sound so catastrophic, don't they? And we ought to be a little bit happy about things. The only problem is that these things are borne out by scientific fact. And I spend my life looking at all these papers, all these complicated avenues of trying to find what we might call the truth. And this is something that is completely the opposite of what many, many people in our world is expecting. And I came upon it quite by accident some years ago and have followed it and watched how the figures for the sun going into this kind of phase it's now actually going into. And it seems to be something that we really have to look out on, which means, of course, the Northern Hemisphere will be in big trouble. And unless we all move south somewhere and all the political repercussions that will come to that, you can imagine what that's going to be.
Well, you know,
I don't want to sound too negative about these things. I just really want to say that when you look at these things and you do the research, Gary, you will be absolutely blown over by what you see when you open the Pandora's box, so to speak.
Yeah, well, I wish people would close that box. I tell you what, you know, we have gone through that cycle before, where we have gone through many ice ages, always going back from the 13th, 14th century all the way up. I mean, look what happened in Russia, the early 1900s, in Siberia, where people froze, you know, in their houses. They couldn't even keep warm. They were burning the floorboards, the walls, and everything trying to stay warm. But what a lot of people don't understand, global warming and global cooling, here's the cycle how it goes. It heats up. Okay, after it heats up, you got all the ice melting around the North Pole, South Pole, Antarctica, dumping all this water into the ocean, cooling the ocean. Now it changes. Now we have the sun doing its cycle at the same time. And what we're set up for is either a mini ice age or a full ice age. We don't know. And then we don't even know about that because the magnetic field could flip. And we don't even know. Scientists don't even know what can happen on that. Some say nothing will happen. Then you got the other scientists that say it could be major.
Yes, indeed. Looking at all those those maximums and minimums. And I have, as a writer, investigative writer on all these phenomena, I actually have to look at the things other people don't want to see, if you see what I mean. And as human beings, of course, we want to see the best of everything, and quite rightly. The problem is that when you look at the figures and you study them over a period of time, you get some idea what is it's more likely to be than not, so to speak, you know. And in this instance, the surprise I got at looking at these figures and studying them over time is such that I would talk to my children about this, because it's their generation, it's our little ones, that really all of this is going to affect. I'm at that part of my life where there are other things I might look forward to. And of course, I hope we'll talk a little bit about that as we go along. The point about it is that these real tacit dangers of a physical, geological nature like that, one has to look carefully at, because as you say, right, quite rightly, there's so many contradictions come in with all this information and so on. So sorting the wheat from the chaff is a very, very responsible job, and especially for a writer like me, before I put this down to paper, I have to look at my responsibility in giving the reader something that they themselves, of themselves, can look at for themselves. I'm a great believer in all those people listening out there being far more talented than they think they are. No matter what they think at the moment in their lives, if they're depressed or whatever, they are bigger than they know. And the best way to do this and introduce what I would like to say is to give you a simple idea of how I came at all of this as a dad to my 12-year-old son. Now, can I tell you a little story? I don't know if I've got enough time to do that, but
well,
I will just rush.
We need to go to break in about 10 minutes, so go ahead.
Okay. Well, I started all of this because my 12-year-old son, about 40 years ago, came up to me one day and said, "Dad, are UFOs real?" Well, to be honest, the word UFO was rather strange to me, and when he said that to me, and my boy has a fairly worthy space between his ears, he thinks a lot, and he's a deep thinker. And when he asked me a question, I like, especially with children, to be as serious and as precise as I possibly can, not to puzzle them and wipe them away and say, "Come, you're a little child. It's not for you to think about these things." I took him seriously, and I said, "Look, I was a skeptic. I have to admit that. I was a skeptic, and I didn't really know anything about UFOs, to be honest." And I asked him, I tried to get out of the question, really, and I said, "Look, Darren, give me a rain check of a week, and I'll tell you whether to believe in this or not, because I don't know much about these things." Well, I started to look at it, and I have a fairly good set of researchers and working for me in other things I write about and so on. So I put this to them, and they came up with this particular idea of how I look at this. I did. And do you know, Gary, I have been doing it for 40 years, thoroughly gobsmacked at what I discovered when I opened the Pandora's box of the UFO phenomenon. I have not been able to let it go for a single day. I feel absolutely breached in looking at all the things that I have to look at to talk about what I do, because I go public and I am an international writer, and I have got to be careful what I say, be able to back it up with good research so that the punter, we call it the punter, the person who actually reads all of this here in England, I don't know if you've heard that. You've heard that phrase in America.
No, but I have now.
Right. Well, the punter is the important thing, and I could then tell people, "Now look."
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Don't read my books. Don't buy my books. The only way you can find the truth of anything is really to go there yourself, to discover what you can do and do so well when you didn't know you could do that. Go and be the writer yourself. Go and look at these things yourself. Research them yourselves. Unless you do that, you will find a huge scheme for not knowing anything. There'll be a broad space of yes and no, and you will never really have any end to what you're searching for, you know, Gary. And that's the great lesson I've learned. So I'm trying to say to everyone who listens, if they would, go and do it yourself, guys. You will not know how clever you can be when you get interested in something. And this UFO phenomenon is singularly the most important thing on the earth today. That is my opinion. And I will tell you, I'm on this program because I want to talk to people and ask them to see this for themselves. I can give you a little analogy.
Yeah, go ahead.
You've got a phone. You have got a camera, shall we say, and you're walking down a country lane, whatever it is, and you turn around the corner, and what do you see? There he is, extraterrestrial, ET. His spaceship parks. He's changing a tire. And you take out your phone, you take out your camera, and boy, you're in the money. You have got the evidence. There it is. You're photographing ET, extraterrestrials. They don't look human. They are completely strange. And they're, shall we say, changing a tire. I don't mean that literally, of course. Okay. You've got the evidence. You're going to make a million. Do you know? You do not stand a chance with all that evidence you have seen yourself of convincing anyone. There will always be doubts in everyone's mind. You show them the evidence, and do you know what they will say to you? Oh, that's well and good, but with all the technology we have these days, these things with Photoshop and all the technical gizmos they've got can be faked.
That's the whole problem. It can be faked. And you know, I've been in broadcasting, like I mentioned to you, for 45, going on 46 years. Thing in life that I really enjoy doing has been photography. And I was one of the very first people when Photoshop first hit the streets, before it even hit the streets, they had testers. I was a tester for, you know, Photoshop. And I know what you can manipulate in your pictures. A lot of people don't even realize if they got a SLR or DSLR digital camera, they have a sensor in it. And they can take pictures all day long, you know, in their house, around, and they don't see anything strange. But they go out and take a sky picture, and all of a sudden they have a UFO, and it's because they sharpened the lens down. They made the aperture a little bit smaller, so the lens is now sharper. Now it recognizes that dust on that sensor. And hence, they got a UFO.
Yeah. But, you know, that's not to say that the evidence is overwhelming where this particular phenomenon is concerned. Millions of people literally all around the world are seeing these things. And before we finish our talk, I will give you a little reference that all your listeners can check out. I'll give you a reference of a program that you guys on the Ancient Alien series that's broadcast can actually have a look at. Take a look at this, and maybe it might prompt some of you clever Americans out there to get in there with your pens and papers and sharp implements and dig out the truth of this, as I had to over 40 years. And I am utterly implacably convinced that this UFO phenomenon is the most dangerous and deadly thing to our humankind, our human family, in existence. And I hope to give you some insight. I don't want to frighten people. That's the worst thing you can do. That's why I ask you to go and have a look yourself and make sure that you can do this. And as you say, you've given us a very erudite explanation of how these things can be misunderstood with goodwill, misunderstood, and in some instances, of course, falsified. So we have to be very, very careful, and especially I, in my own terms, I look in the far view at the eyes of the little ones. What can I assure them of so that there won't be any tears in there in the future? I hope I don't sound too maudlin about it, but I really do that. I have children and grandchildren and so on, and I really want to make sure that they have some idea of a construct where they themselves can find out for themselves what is important in this world for them. And the thing you asked me to talk about, you invited me on your show, is probably the most important thing you can ever think of when you find the thread of evidence that has led me to my conclusions at the moment, so that I don't obfuscate this thing unintentionally, so that would frighten the world. But I tell you what,
I have difficulty
looking at my kids.
Nigel, maybe the world needs to be scared into reality. Let's face it. Now, we need to go on break here in about 2 minutes, but I just want to say this. You know, there's Bigfoot hunters out there that have never seen a Bigfoot, but they're experts on Bigfoot. There's an expert on ufology out there have never seen a craft in their life. Now, I had a strange encounter back in the early 70s, me and my first wife, and I know there's something going on out there. I've interviewed people for 45 years about UFOs and abductions, and I just honestly don't believe that every abduction is here. I got an idea how you can save mankind. I don't think it's that way, and hopefully, you know, you need to be honest. We need to get it out to the population out there that if they think ETs are our friends, well, then, you know, Hitler was our friend too. Because they're not our friends. I'll be honest with you, they're not. Because if I'm walking down the street and your friend that's sitting next to you decides to, you know, pull me in your van and take me to a warehouse and sell my organs, right? Yes. You kidnapped me. You violated my human rights. They have no qualms, if they are abducting people, of humanity's rights.
Yes.
They don't care.
Yeah. Yeah, but the distinction I would like to make in what I have discovered is there are two kinds of phenomenon here, Gary. They are completely different from one another. One is a natural phenomenon where there are living biologically apparent ETs. And then there is another sort. This is the synthetic sort. They are machines made out there by previous advanced civilizations. And these machines, because they operate on artificial intelligence, are roaming every location in the universe. Now, if anyone tells me that we are the only ones in this universe,
okay, we need to hold that.
A little bit short-sighted.
Nigel, we need to hold that. We need to go on break. We'll be back in about 3.5 minutes with Nigel out of the UK. We're going to talk about ETs, Greys, and my ex-mother-in-law. So we'll be right back. You're listening to Night Dreams Talk Radio.
Just because just because the leaves are dry, and because you know that I am fading in the night.
You can advertise your business on Night Dreams Talk Radio, and you will be heard worldwide. Why not contact us at nightdreamstalkradio@gmail.com?
Stay safe, stay indoors, and listen to us.
From the compound in beautiful Gig Harbor, Washington, Night Dreams Talk Radio presents your host, Gary Anderson.
And we are back with our guest from the UK, Nigel Kerner, and we are talking about, well, ETs. Well, we're back, my friend, and yes. What's your feeling? What are these things? What's going on?
Yeah, my bone of contention is not with the... Look, Gary, there are literally countless millions of planets out there like ours. You just do a summary look at this, a cursory summary look at this, and it's easy to see that our tiny little planet is just an ordinary type of planet within a huge galaxy. And even in our planet, there are reckoned to be millions like this is the latest research, millions like our own planet out there. That's on just a single galaxy. And there are countless trillions of galaxies, not millions, trillions of galaxies out there. So you can be absolutely certain that there would be natural life propagated within these, just as things happen here on our Earth. Now, the problem is, when you do this kind of thing, you can see what we're doing now. We're creating robots to make our lives easier. And, of course, I'm not actually convinced that our lives will be made easier by the kind of technologies that are coming in and online. It will take away my ability to sit and talk to you across a table or on your sofa or whatever, and I hope you sometime come to England. I'll have you on my sofa.
Okay.
To talk to.
As long as you have the tea, I'll go.
And of course I've got Professor Bickerstaff sitting in front of me, who's got a lot of experience of being in America, and he loves your people out there, and he's back now in England because he's past his sell-by date, I think.
Well, who's your friend out there? Why don't you tell everybody about your friend?
And anyway, he's only here to actually give you any technical knowledge you might want about anything that we say, that it's a little bit, shall we say, more scientifically pertinent, if you know what I mean. Now, what I'm trying, without wasting time, to go on to this thing about ET, there are two real platforms on which we decide the veracity, the value, and the danger, or not, of this phenomenon. And there are two main classifications of this. One is what I call natural in my books, and the other is called synthetic. And what I am addressing myself to are the synthetic sort. And this is a machine-type thing that is so far advanced, you will never believe our robots are nothing compared to some of the civilizations out there that have created these things to actually maintain their naturalness better, so that these things can look after the normal everydayness of being, so to speak, you know. It's like we make robots to make our lives easier, if you see what I'm trying to say. But not only will they make it easier, but I believe they will chip us and we will be like them. And that's the great hallmark danger, Gary, that I want to talk to people about. What can these things do? And they are here, and they have been here for thousands of years, from R10 in Egypt to so many other civilizations all around our planet, full of the signs of their extrapolations into human resources, so to speak, you know. And that is what's fascinated me and kept me going so long. I can't stop because I'm, as I say, taking a look at the future. My time will soon be somewhere else, I think, And we can talk about that too, and the beautiful teachers that came to tell us a story about what that somewhere else might be. We took one beautiful one, tore his body apart, hung him on a cross, and he was so beautiful that his last words were, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." How wonderful is that? What did we do? We crucify and garrote people like this who come and give us sweet messages.
We do, Nigel, and we still do. And here's your thing. Your friend, the scientist, is next to you. Why don't you tell everybody his name?
His name is Dr. John Biggerstaff. And he's as big as his staff, I can tell you that. He's a very, very illustrious man. He's got white hair. He's looking at me now and smiling. But he's a pretty, well-informed honcho on his subject. So if you want to ask anything about biological situations, and we've got this COVID thing now, he's an expert on this, and I've got him here in case we get into that kind of territory. He's really, for me, the last word on this. So I'd like you to say hello to him. John, will you say hello?
Hello, Gary. How are things?
Well, very good. But, you know, one thing I want to say to both you guys, if you think about ETs, they've been here since mankind has walked the earth. You think of things like the Mayas, the Incas. Why did they think gold was so precious? Why were they hoarding gold themselves? I think a lot of the things go back to ETs. I mean, why the Mayas, the Incas, and some of these other civilizations, why couldn't it have been pewter or brass what they could have put the worship on? Why gold? Listen, if you think about it, if the ETs were coming here for some, to get minerals from our planet along with other planets, and they bring on humanoids to mine the mines or to, you know, create what we have, what we are as mankind, yeah, to be slaves, to work this, they would then realize if they're mining for gold, gold is precious. They're going to go back. They're themselves are going to hoard it. They're going to, you know, and you think about all the things like the pyramids, the Sphinx. There's no way humans with our intelligent level back then could have even created anything like that. Let's be honest. We have had ETs here.
Yeah. Well, you have a point, obviously, there, Gary. But can I suggest something to you here in response to that? Now, if an alien species with an advanced enough technology, shall we say, to conquer the speed of light in order to reach us, as an interest in us, if they have an interest in us, with our relatively primitive levels of technology, one would have to ask the question, why? These things could lasso a planet with the awesome technology they have at their hands. They don't need human beings to work and mine it. And because they're machines and they can't think and they can't have feelings, they have no way of feeling an empathetic connection with anything that's alive. We are just a modulus for them to work on and use. And so they could do this for their own purposes without any cooperation or any empathetic relationship with a living species that has emotions and feelings and all the rest of it. What can living beings give them that technology cannot, Gary?
Well, how about you look at it this way, and please don't take this wrong, Nigel.
Yeah.
But I always tell people, you know, we grew up watching TV shows like Benny Hill in the UK, for example. Wonderful shows out of the UK. Here it was Leave It to Beaver, you know, Donna Reed's show, Father Knows Best, where you grew up where values were and you learned values. We don't have that anymore. But a civilization, thousands or tens of thousands or more advanced than us, could just look at us as no more than locusts. Seriously. And like I always tell people too, we could be the farm, because so many people go missing worldwide that it's outstandingly something is going on. Yeah, I believe we got serial killers. We got people that want to hide, but it's not as easy to hide as it used to be. I think something is happening. I really do.
You mentioned gold, Gary, right? Now, if they want our planetary resources such as gold, for example, it would be so easy for them to harvest of the purely technological means. In fact, they could find those resources easily on so many uninhabited planets with no troublesome inhabitants to bother them or interfere with them. If they want DNA from us too, this is easily replicated endlessly from a small sample of our own biologists already, as our own biologists already do in their own research. Yet, you know, for millennia, it seems they have been interacting with our species. What do we have that fascinates them so powerfully? Their first concern will be to survive in the best capacity, don't you think? What do we have that would benefit their survival? I think we have to look at that very, very carefully. What is it about our humanness that they want that is so precious? And I think in looking at all the things I have, there might be a light at the end of the tunnel here. I think they want something that we have because we live, and what the great teachers told us we have, that we can go beyond death. And in this particular guise, there is something so powerful, we call that a soul. And I have to be careful with this because people would want to know exactly what a soul is. People are not religious and all the rest of it. And I've had to look at this so carefully through science and define all of this in my books. I try and do that. But it's best, as I say, other people will also look at this and see how they would define what carries on beyond. And the great teachers told us, one died telling us we have this and that he's come to save that. I speak of the Christian teacher, but I'm sure there are many other wonderful individuals who did this in their own philosophical terms. And so my point is, I believe what these things want is the capacity as machines in some way to append to what carries on an eternal scale that we have, a soul, so that they, in their terms, can increase their tenure. If you are physical, you are subject to the second law of thermodynamics universe-wide. That means you rot where you stand. Everything rots. Nobody can understand or explain the second law of thermodynamics, Gary. The man who wrote the equations on it actually committed suicide because he felt so depressed that there was nothing you could do about this. And I think he did that because he wanted to see himself whether there was another extension beyond that could beat the second law of thermodynamics. I call it the slot, second law of thermodynamics. And this is the big terror, this awful thing that will take anything out into the tiniest proportion it can be made of.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.